Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf from the Sechet Kedushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is Daf Samach. How did we get to Daf Samach? Wow. Before you look around, the whole Masechta is sitting on your head and you didn't do Chazor yet. Time to do Chazor over Shabbos. Every Shabbos, to Chazor all of the seven daf of that week. What do you say? A good thing to begin. Some people do this. I won't mention names, because I'm sure they would want to remain Sanua, but it may come to a point where we have to use their input and we'll have to mention names, and then, you know, they'll have to speak up. Okay, so as I said, today's daf is daf shishim, daf samach, and we are holding at the bottom of Nuntes Amud Beis. Omar Abaye, the last two lines. Shomar Abaye, the time made in Rav, now remember that we had a machlokas about how do we understand the words of Me'achshav V'le'achshav Shloshim Yom. So that this is a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. And the question is whether when the Mishnah, we learned over here that she's Mekudeshes, Ve'ina Mekudeshes, according to Rav, that's a permanent state. We do not know the status of her Kedushin at that time. And the Shmuel, this is the way we ended up understanding the Machlokas, if he said it, that's going on the last case in the Mishnah. And Shmuel says, no, it's only up till 30 days. But after 30 days, for sure, the second Kedushin that took place absolutely pops out of existence. And the first one's Kedushin is the only thing that we need to worry about. The way that we understood the Machlokas yesterday was that, according to Rav, we're not certain how to explain the strange contradictory language in which a person says you should be Mekudeshes from now and in 30 days. Well, I mean, is it from now or is it in 30 days? So there's two ways to understand this. Either we could see it as a condition. If I still want to go through with this in 30 days, fine. And if I decide I don't want to go through with it, so then it's not chal. But if the Tanai is Mekuyam or whatever else is in mind, if the Tanai is not Mekuyam, so then there's no Kedushin at all. If the Tanai is Mekuyam, so then the Kedushin would be Chal retroactively. On the other hand, it might be understood as he changed his mind. He was about to go through with this, and then he said, oh, no, wait a minute, maybe we ought to wait a little bit. And after 30 days, it'll be Kedushin. Right? We mentioned how useful this would be for Chatanim under the Chuppah, except that, my God, you'd need to have police there to quell the riots. Okay. But in any event, so according to Rav, we've got a suffix. We don't know which one was meant. Whereas Shmuel says, no, he certainly didn't change his mind. And what we're talking about over here is 100% the guy made a Tanai, and therefore once the Tanai is Mekuyam, then that means the Kedusha was retroactive and knocks off anybody else who tried to be Mekadosher during the 30-day period until the Tanai was Mekuyam. So now, Abaye is pointing out today that if we buy into Rav's approach, namely, that there is, are you concentrating, Dr. Barry? You look like you're very tired, yeah? We need total concentration here, okay. So according to the way Rav understands this, that it's either a Tanai or it's a Chazora. Imagine a situation in which number one Mekadesh comes along and says, so our Kedushin is after 30 days. And the second guy comes along and he says, I give you Kedushin now, from now till after 20 days. And another guy comes along and says, how about from now after 10 days? Okay, so you can get hundreds of people fitting all of this in here, you know. I mean, we can have Tanaim in which we've got all of these people. What would be the din? I say that understanding the Rav, the way we just did, then you would only need to have a get from number one and from number three. In other words, only from the first one and only from the last one. Because, Memanavshach, look, says Abaye, if you're going to understand the Lushan to be a Tanai, so then only the first one is Kedusha, because he started, and he said, from this minute, then Mifetz Tanai, that means it was retroactively Kedushin from the moment that the person said from now. That means that nobody else could be Mekadosher, because she's married to number one. If it's Chazara, and the guy said, well, we're only going to be married after 30 days, well, then that would mean that the person that came in last who said 10 days, not 20 days, not 30 days, I'm the first one in. Okay, so the 10 days comes before the 20 days and the 30 days. So then he would get the Kedushin. But Mr. 20 day, nah, he's lost it. Because either she's going to be Mekudeshet to Mr. 1, or she's going to be Mekudeshet to Mr. 3. But there's no way that the middle guy would possibly be Kedushin. So let's see that inside. Itna Havi, if we understand this as a condition, so then only the first man has a kosher condition because it went back retroactively. The others are meaningless. Ichazorah Havi, and if we understand that each one of these people said, well, actually, no. Why don't we wait for 10 days? Why don't we wait for 20 days? Why don't we wait for 30 days? So then the guy that came last, who now is the one who said the least number of days we need to wait, his Kedusha was Chal first, and therefore only the last guy is Kedushin. The other ones are not Kedushin. Says the Gemara, I mean, yeah, it's very cute, but I don't need you to explain that to me. I mean, that's obvious from what we just said, Rav said. Why do I need a buyer to explain to me the obvious implications of such a thing? Oh, is it so obvious, you say, huh? Mahu detema, hai lishna mashmatna'a umashma chazara, v'tiboy gita mikochad v'chad. Look, if it wouldn't have been for Abaye, how did you understand the Gemara? Think about it for a minute. You thought that we had a question about when a person says this, does he mean it as a t'nai, or did he mean it as a charota, right? But if that's true, then that would mean that every single case is a different suffix. Did Mr. A mean it this way? Did Mr. B mean it this way? Did Mr. C mean it this way, correct? Now, if that were the case, then you would need a get from every single one. Because if it's decided on a case-by-case basis, so then I would have said, Hai Lishna Mashmatna'a Umashba Chazara. The language of from now till eternity, from now till whatever the time is mashma one way or the other, but we don't know how the person meant it, right? But if that's the case, even if you've got three people, you'd still need a get from every single one of those three people, right? Because if the first guy meant this as a t'nai, so then he was the first one in to give Kedushin, and nobody else's was. But what about if the first man, he was thinking, Mr. One, nah, you know what, let's wait till after 30 days. So according to that, it would be Chazara in that case, right? And then the guy that came after, he said, no, let's do it from now till the end of 20 days. But then that would mean that he's the one that is Chal, because he's the only one that made a T'nai that would begin immediately now, correct? So then that would mean if we cannot be sure who means what, then you would never have been able to say what Shmuel pointed out. What have I pointed out, right? Because then Rav would have required each and every one of these people to give a get, because you can never tell. Therefore, comes along Abaye to say this has nothing to do with what the person's intent was. Kamash Malon, we're talking about what the words mean. Now remember, this is a very important yesod, because as the Rashba explains, all of those sveikas that we had earlier, what did a person mean when he said, we had like 20 different languages, does this mean Kedushin, or does it mean for Avdus, or does it mean, you know, I want to hire you to wash my car, and so all those different Lashonis, right? So as the Rashba explains, well, why don't we just ask the guy? I mean, I understand, if the guy said, I had no intention for Kedushin, so why would it be a suffix? And that's the obvious question that bothers everyone. So as the Rashba explains over there, in all such cases, the issue has nothing to do with what the guy says and what the guy intended in his heart, because the Kedushin is dependent on what the Edim see. And the Lashon is Mashma what? That's the question, because that's all that the Edim know. They only know the words. That's all they can report on. The fact that the guy says, but those words meant, and what do I care? I can't be a witness to that, what's going on in your brain. And therefore, the entire issue always has to do with the manifest aspect of things and not those things which are not inherent in the words. Therefore, says the Rashba over here, that's the point that Abaye is making. These words are not dependent on how a particular person uses them. They are dependent on what the words mean. That's why the Lashon of the Gemara notice very carefully. Hai lishna mashma, you might have thought that the Lashon itself means either. And now it's a question of how you use it. Kamashmala, no. It's not that the Lashon is mashma either. It's just that I don't know. I, says Rav, I don't know well enough how to analyze the structure of the language so that I can tell you absolutely what this means in terms of its manifest meaning. That's the point that Abaye is making, which is a tremendous, beautiful chiddush, right? Okay, now comes along Ula and says, I disagree. Not only is what Abaye says not obvious, it's wrong. The truth is that if you make a kiddushin in which you are going to use a language of from now till whatever it is, every last person, even 100 people, first guy says this should be a kiddush from now in 100 days, second guy says from now in 99 days, and so on and so forth, each and every one of them would require kiddush, again, in order for her to be able to get married to someone. Because, now why? Why is that? Well, look what he says, and you'll see that it's not as simple as it sounds. Afilu me'ah tofsim ba. Even if there were 100 people, all of those kiddushin would be tofes. Okay, so what would your immediate response be, gentlemen? What is the logic of Ula? The logic of Ula is exactly what we just said, that Abaye was machadish. Abaye was saying, we don't care about the particular case, we only care about the manifest language, right? Whereas Ula says, no, that's not true. The language actually bears two interpretations, which is always dependent on the intent, and therefore every case needs to be analyzed with all open possibilities. That's what you would say, but you would be wrong. Why would you be wrong? Because what Rabbi Yochanan said, according to Ula, was all of these 100 kiddushin are tofsim. That's not true. What do you mean all of them are tofsim? One of them is the real one, but we have no way of knowing which one it is because it depends on the working of his brain around this language, correct? If Ula is saying that Alibir of Yochanan, all of them are tofes, he is talking about something totally out of left field that has nothing to do with the way that Abaye explained it or the way the antithesis of Abaye would result. Because even if you didn't hold of Abaye and you held, you have to analyze each one individually, each one would be a suffix kedushin, because we don't know. How would we ever say 100 people are tofes kedushin? Point? Okay, so then we do not understand what Ula is saying that Rabbi Yochanan claimed. Go explain it to me. This is where we're holding now. Is this clear to everyone? Come on, guys. Show me signs of life. Signs of life. Maybe what we need is, I made a big mistake about just having electrodes. Maybe what we need is a life sign readout so that I could see if any of you have Apple Watches, we can put it on your screen, which will testify to the fact that your hearts are beating. That would be great. Then at least I would know I'm talking to living humans. Geesh. Hi. I don't see the watch, Daniil. It's a nice try, but I don't see the Okay. So what is the reason? So I'll tell you. Says Rimisharship the Rabamil Rabasi. I'm gonna tell you what the point is, because Ravasi said the same thing. Afilu mea tof simba. But he didn't explain it. So Rimisharship Reda Ravami said to Ravasi, I'll explain to you how this works. Do you ever lay bricks? If you ever laid bricks, you'll understand how this works. Yes, because when you lay bricks, okay, you never put one row of bricks directly over the other row of bricks, do you? I mean, if you would, as soon as the first row collapses because it's too close to the edge, the whole thing is going to gradually collapse. So what do? You lay a row of bricks, and then you alternate. The next row alternates, and it puts half of the brick on one and half the brick on the one beneath it, and the row above that does the same thing ad infinitum, right? Well, that's exactly what it is that Rabbi Yochanan holds. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the, of course, we have a Rav Barnea's neighborhood who is going to explain to us how somehow or other he lays bricks. It was the cousin of his great-great-grandfather who was reported to be a very knowledgeable bricklayer. And which completely changes the sugya, as you know, and therefore is very important for us. Oh, Barnea himself is a renowned bricklayer. Now that brings it a little closer to home. And he's dying to explain. No.
My saying that it was a bricklayer, I find the ancient bricks I uncover. That's what it is that he just did.
I think Ari is giving up. That's Zoom has put you right next to him. Now is the time to take a blow. Go ahead. You don't often get this opportunity. Okay, so what does that mean? What in the world is he explaining to Ravasi? So the point is that what this means is that you will always leave room for the next Kedushin to be Chal. That's the point. And now that introduces a completely new concept. And that is the notion. Now remember, this touches upon things that we talked about back in Gittin. Can two men be married to the same woman? Remember, according to Rabbi Elazar, we had the cases of Hareyat Mekudeshet, Chutz Milaploni. And the other guy says Hareyat Mekudeshet, Chutz to the Rishon. Are they both her husbands? So we ended up working out, a Libra Rabbi Elazar, that there is actually a full Kedushin under those circumstances to two people. Remember, we said it was so surprising that it's possible to have open marriages? So the point over here would be that if you are understanding the way that this works as it's neither a t'nai nor a charot, but rather what the person was intending was he wanted the Kedushin to gradually consummate. So he says, listen, let's do the Maisi Kedushin now, and you are Mekudeshet to me to the point that you're going to be fully married to me after 30 days of gradual accommodation. And at that point, the kinyan will be shalim. Okay, but then that means that he has left room in his kinyan for, since it doesn't cover the entire Isser of Kedushin, Satosus asks, but wait a minute. I thought if we said before on Daf Zayin, if you give a woman Kedushin, you say half of you is Mekudeshet to me, that doesn't work at all, because either it is Kedushin or it's not Kedushin. True, says Tosus, but that is not comparable to this case. Over there, you left out part of the woman. Over here, you're simply leaving out the total implications of the Kinyan. It's a completely different situation. The whole woman is Mekudeshet with a gradually developing Kedushin, but it's not sufficient to prevent the Chalos of Kedushin from someone else. Therefore, there's a Tfisa of Kedushin to every one of these people. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. And therefore, we're comparing it to leaving space always. I'm not taking up the whole thing that was on the row of bricks beneath me. I'm taking up only half. That way, at least it doesn't collapse, but that leaves somebody else to take the half above me, and so on. Masiv Rav Chanina, that is weird, because we know from the Mishnah in Gittin, I think, that doesn't make any sense. We have exactly the same case where a guy makes a tzai or a charota. Again, the problem is that we thought, we just weren't sure. It's the same exact Mishnah. He gives a get, and he says, Mihayom ula achar mita. The din over there is get ve no get. It is and it isn't a get. Therefore, we're mesupik. If the guy dies and he leaves over an estate without children, so then she can't do yibum because maybe she was divorced. But she has to do chalitza because nobody else can marry her, since it may be a case of a yavama of someone that was already divorced, in which case there was no chiyav of yibum, and he's marrying his brother's ex-wife. So you just can do chalitza, but you do need the chalitza in order to marry anybody else. So now, how is Rabbi Yochanan going to deal with that? Okay, there's no way he can deal with that Mishnah. I mean, according to Rav, this was the Mishnah that we just used yesterday, and we said this proves what Rav says, because it says beferish. But, well, we're not sure. Maybe she is Mugureshet, maybe she isn't. Maybe the guy meant only after I die, in which case it's no get, or maybe he made a t'nai. If I die, then the get will be chal from now, right? So we said that proves Rav's point. And when we asked, well, Shmuel, how do you understand this? You say it's definitely not meant as a chazara. So how do you explain it? And remember, Shmuel answered yesterday. What did he answer? Ah, this is going according to the Rabbanan, but I was going according to Rebbe. That's how we got into the whole question yesterday about why is the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel not a machlokas tanoim, the same tanoim that argue in the case of Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Okay, I understand. So that would be the way that at least he would be able to explain it. I understand. But how in the world could Rabbi Yochanan explain it? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's understood as a gradually developing issue, right? But the problem is, now here's how Rashi understands it. Please, gentlemen, it's so subtle and so lovely. Please pay close attention. So Rashi understands it, kipshutai. There is no such thing as a gradually developing get. Because since the nature of Gittin is, the Torah goes out of its way to say, either it's total or nothing, and that's why it calls it a get kritut. There cannot be any strings attached, remember? So as long as there is any strings attached, meaning there are any connections, it is not a get, which means that get is a binary issue. Either she is or is not married, or we don't know. But certainly the concept of Rabbi Yochanan, that there is a gradually developing kritut, is an absolutely ridiculous concept when it comes to a get, because get is defined as total kritut. Good pshat? That's Rashi's pshat. Tosfos does not like that pshat. The reason Tosfos says, I don't like that pshat, is because that ought to be true about Kiddushin as well. Either a woman is an Eishes or she's not. Okay. Whatever. We could stick with Rashi's pshat as a pashtus. I will explain to you what Tosfos says, which is very simple. Tosfos says, think for a moment what you'd be saying. The case of the get is where we have a gradually developing get in which it's 99% a get before the minute that I die. And when does it become 100% a get? After I die? There can't be a 1%. There can't be any percent a get after you're dead, mister, because you can't give a get after you're dead. So therefore, it makes no sense when it comes to Gittin. That's what's the Gemara's question. So if you're telling me it's a gradually developed get, which is then completed after death, you're talking nonsense. Mashen ken Kiddushin, it's a gradually developing Kiddushin until after 30 days. Fine, you're not talking nonsense. 30 days later, you still have an ability to give a Kiddushin. Okay? So therefore, according to, however we learn it, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it makes no sense. Now, the Loshen in the Gemara is mashma like Rashi. Ari, it's mashma like Rashi. Because it says, Ko gita de mishayirba v'lo kolumu. A get with anything left out is not a get. Because, again, that sounds like Rashi. The definition of a get is total kritut. So there, if, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what should be the din if there is a question over here? So then it's not a get, obviously. So how come we don't do Yibum? If it's not a get, she's a typical case of a brother who died, and now the brother has to do Yibum. Omar Rava, let me try to explain things so that at least Rabbi Yochanan would be able to handle the Mishnah. I would say that the two issues are not similar. The language when it comes to Gittin and it comes to the issue over here works in a slightly different way. You know how it works? You're right 100% that after the end of his life, that last 1% of a get cannot be given. But I got news for you. There are two ways for a woman to go out of the rishus of her husband. He can either die or he can give her a get. So we have divorce Italian style or we have just plain old-fashioned divorce, right? So now, the question is what he's essentially saying, that I want this get to gradually develop and to conclude after my death. Now, that 1% that is meant to conclude after his death does not conclude as a get. It concludes by his death, because his death is not antithetical to the achievement of what the get wants to achieve. It just switched to Italy. That's all. So in that case, it's considered to be all one thing. Mashishiera get, whatever is left over in the marriage by the get, is now completed by his death. So therefore, since the get started this entire month long, or however it was, this entire gradual process of ending the marriage, so because of that, there's no possible way to give her Yibam, because she's not really a typical almana. She is a mixed divorcee widow. Okay, wow. But at least that allows for the interpretation of the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, right? You cannot just let her out without doing something, because she has elements in her that make her a typical Yavama. On the other hand, you can't give her Yibam, because she is also partially divorced. That's the point. Amar Abaye, what? Hold on a minute. What do you mean? Combining parts of the Yetziah from her husband. Part of it is through getting, and part of it is through death. They're not comparable. A get works by taking her away from the Yibam. The get is working not on, remember, the relationship over here of the get to the Misa has to be seen in terms of the Chiyuv of Yibam. That's what you're saying, right? But you're being naive, because you cannot combine them in the context of Yibam at all. A divorce works by addressing not only the marriage to the current husband, but it is at the same time addressing the incipient relationship to the brother of that husband in the event that he would die, which is part of the original condition, right? But a death addresses it as well, but in the opposite direction. The divorce is actually canceling the relationship to the Yavam. The death is actually enhancing the relationship to the Yavam. Now, how can you possibly terminate by using two antithetical terminations? One which is bringing into Rishus of Yavam, one which is taking out of Rishus of Yavam. That's absurd. And therefore, when it comes to understanding how this would impact Yibam, it's a washout, Rava. So therefore, mi dami, says Abaye, get is motziyam Rishut Yavam. Mita is machnisal Rishut Yavam. Okay? So therefore, it's got to be that the only thing that made any difference to the Yavam was the death. The get had no impact because he wasn't able to conclude the get. And if that's the case, then she would be a normal almana. And if she would be a normal almana, why does the Mishnah say she can't get Yibam? On the contrary, it would be a mitzvah for her to get Yibam. Elam Rabbi, I'll explain to you how Rabbi Yochanan would learn that Mishnah. It's very simple. It's a gezerah derabbanan. The reason that in that case you're not allowed to be miyabim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, of course you should be allowed to be miyabim, because there's no way for the get to work under those circumstances, either according to Rashi, because it's not a get kriitut, or according to Tosfos, it can't work because the last day cannot be included in the power of the get, because he wasn't able to give a get, being dead. But therefore, why can you not give evil? Dizera. We're worried that if we allow you to get Yibam, what would be if someone made a condition in giving a get, and he said, this get is from today if I die, not when I die. Oh, now the regular people out there who haven't put their brains into Masechet Kedushin and Gittin, and they don't show a blinking heartbeat on their Zoom screen, those people will indeed get confused. And they'll say, well, I mean, same thing, right? If I die, when I die, I mean, what's the point? But there's a tremendous difference. If you said, when I die, it's no good. Because, as we said, ain't get li'achar mita. And therefore, there's no way to conclude this divorce, and she would need Yibam. So, but they would say, oh, guess what? Last week, I had a story like this, where a guy died and he said he had given a get before, and he said the get will be culminated when I die, and if I die, and they said, you know, go right ahead and do Yibum, you know. So in this case, I will confuse the two situations. Because if he said, if I die, this guy said, when I die. So they said, okay, do Yibum. And today's case is the same. This guy said, if I die, right? No, dumbbell, not right. If I die, she can't get Yibam. She's actually not married at all to her brother when he died. But Dumbbell doesn't know that. And therefore, because we have to keep the Torah usable by dummies, so in order to make sure that nobody makes that error, Zera Bishum Me'ayom Imati Arei Ze Get, well, over there it is a get. And if we allow Yibum, oh my God. So then the Yibum would be a disaster because she was actually his brother's wife. So that's a Gezerah. That's all. But wait a minute. So why don't we do the same issue of a Gezerah in a case where somebody would say, Mehayom Imati, we should demand Chalitza. Because if we don't do Chalitza, people will think that even in a case of Miyom La'achar Mita, where she's not allowed to get married to anybody, right? So why don't we say, listen, you know, you better do Chalitza in all cases, because if the guy said, after I die, in which case she would really need to do Yibum, so at least let's make sure that they do Chalitza in all cases to make certain that she doesn't go marry somebody as a Yavama. Oh, we can't do that, says the Gemara. If we would do that, so then people will also do Yibum. They'll say, well, I don't know, the rabbi said she could do Chalitza. I mean, whenever you do Chalitza, you could do Yibum if you're ready to do Yibum, right? So because of that, they don't want to say she should do Chalitza in the case where she said, where he said, if I die, because then somebody may do Yibum instead, and that would be an Isser D'Oraisa. He's marrying his brother's wife. So they didn't want to do that. So then I don't understand, says the Gemara. So then in this case, we have the same problem. You are telling me that the Mishnah says she should do Chalitza. So why aren't we worried that she should do, maybe they'll do Yibum, even in the case of the Achar Moisi? And we're not afraid. Afraid of what, silly? If she does Yibum, what's she doing wrong? Nothing. It wasn't to get. She wouldn't be doing anything wrong, but we just want to maintain the appearances as if she might be doing something wrong to avoid people thinking that if it was a real get, and he said, if I die. All right, so in this case, they didn't understand the difference. No loss. Anyway, she really was chayevet in Yibum. It's the whole thing was only a gezeira derabbanan, a chashash, chashash derabbananu. So, okay. But in the other case, if they would do Yibum because we said do Chalitza, oh my God, he would be marrying his brother's wife. And in that case, he would be constantly living with an erva. Which brings us to, I would get out of the way if I were you, Daniil, because Richie is, oh, okay, we're going to pull him over directly so that you don't get hurt. There we go. Okay. Well, yes.
The other end again.
Only because you insist on using your iPad, that's all. You think what you don't know won't hurt you. Go ahead and try. Moving on to various conditions. So now up until now we've been talking about what may be a condition and what may be chazora. What about if you make a condition? And now that condition takes time to fulfill. So we need to actually figure out the status over here of the condition up until the point that the condition is fulfilled. So let's say a guy goes over to a woman, he says, Arei Mekudeshet Li, I don't have much money right now, but here's this ring, you know, and I also have a great gift for you on condition that I give you 200 zuz. So she's Mekudeshet, and he has to give her the 200 zuz, and we're going to see what this means. How about if he says, on condition that I give you 200 zuz within the next 30 days? So then if he gives her the 200 zuz within the next 30 days, she's mekudeshes. If not, she's not mekudeshes. In Lavena mekudeshes. How about if he says, on condition that I have 200 zuz? So he's basically telling her he's a rich guy and she doesn't have to worry. He's going to be able to support her properly. So what's the din? Well, the yeshlo, if he can prove that he has that, so then it's kedushin. How about if he says, on condition that I show you 200 zuz? Harezu mekudeshes v'yarela. Yes, he has to show her, but it's got to be. What he's saying is not, let me take you into the grocery store and he'll open the cash register. No, that's not what it means. It means, I have 200 zuz and I'm going to show it to you. Okay, not that you should rely on somebody else telling you, yes, I saw it. No, I'm going to show you I have 200 zuz. Obviously, he means his own 200 zuz. Now, let's say, now, this doesn't mean on his dining room table. This is talking about a guy who's a banker, okay? How do you say banker in Hebrew? Shulchani, which is the old benkel, you know, the little stool by the table. So he is the banker. Boy, have things changed, right? I mean, once upon a time you said the benkel, you know what it meant, you know. The little yid is sitting there as a teller, and he's taking the money, and he's doing investments with the money, giving you change and so on. That was the benkel. Well, that's how the Rothschilds start, you know. So anyway, this guy, he says, I'm going to show you 200 zuz. When I show you $2 million, come into my bank. And he said, here's $2 million. That doesn't help. Now, that's obvious, isn't it? No, the Gemara is going to explain all of these cases. Enema Kodeshes. Okay, so now, how do we understand the words in the Mishnah? V'yitain. So does that mean she's Mekudeshes now? And then he can be Mekayim the Tanai whenever? So Itmar Rav Huna says, yes, that's what it means. It means in the event that he pays her, whenever he gives her those $200, she is Mekudeshes from now. So this is a retroactive Kedushin. It's a standard condition. And it goes back to the moment that he said it. Whereas Rav Yehuda said, no, no, no. When he gives her the $200, that's when the Kedushin is chal, but not before. Now, obviously, even though Rav Huna says she's Mekudeshes now, I mean, if the guy would say die beforehand, right, there's no way that he can be Mekayim is tonight. So then there would be no problem. She wouldn't need chalitza because she's not married. Okay, that wasn't the machlokas. Machlokas is at what point when he does the Kiyam HaTanai, at what point would she be married, and that would be doicha any other kedushin, and so on. So here's the two points. Rav Huna Amar v'hu yitain, it's just a simple tanai. The moment he's mitkayim the tanai, now the kedushin is chal. So whenever he does, mitkayim tanai v'azel. Rav Yehuda says, no, it's not a tanai. Just as a from now, it means likashi yitain. When he gives her that 200 zuz, only at that point, l'chiyoyivla havi kedushin. But right now, there is no kedushin. There's a big difference between these two approaches, isn't there? May beinayu. The difference is very simple. Suppose she goes ahead and she's mekabelet kedushin from another person before the guy gives her the 200 zuz. Ika b'nasha poshto yoda v'kibla kedushin mi'acher. According to Rav Huna, if he's mekayim the tanai, then the original kedushin was chal from the beginning. And according to Rav Yehuda, it would not be. And you would see exactly why this Mishnah is a direct continuation of the issue that we was talking about before, which was introduced by the interesting case of Abaya. What happens if one person is Mekadesh Mikanvat Shloshim and the next one is Mikanvat Ezrim? And this is exactly that question. What happens in between? So according to Rav Yehuda, the second guy's Kedushin would be a good Kedushin. Now, we have the same machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna about how to learn the Mishnah in Gittin, which is exactly the same case on the surface, where Tana Nami Gabi Gittin Ki Ay Gavna, Ha'omer Li Sha'arei Zeh Gitech Amanat Shetitni Li Matayim Zuz. So the same idea, except that here it's not Kedushin, it's a get. So Itmar, so it says over there, Reizu Megureshet V'hi Titein, and she has to give him the money. Okay, there too, Rav Huna says, it means it is a get now, and she should pay. In that way, it would be a get even from this moment. So it's a retroactive get. Rav Yehuda says, no, when she gives him the money, then the get is chal, and that makes a big difference, because Rav Huna Amar v'hi titein, he learns that it's just a regular tanai, exactly like here. Mekayim tanai v'azla, whenever she pays. Rav Yehuda Amar, no, when she pays. That's when it's a get. L'chiyav elahuda v'get, but hashtami aloha v'get. Tremendous difference la'alocha between them, namely, ika b'nei shenit kareya haget or she'avat. So what happens if something happened to the get? If you hold that the get is chal now, and it's just a question of being mekayim the tanai, you do not need a second get just because your get was ripped up. Who cares? She was megureshet with the original get. So according to Rav Huna, it's perfectly okay, but according to Rav Yehuda, since the get only takes place at the moment that she pays, if there is no get at the moment that she pays, then he's going to have to give her a new get. Now, obviously, you're concerned by why the heck would we need the same machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda in two cases if they're exactly the same. They're not exactly the same. Now, we know already why they're not exactly the same, as we've discussed many times in the past. tricha. Because yashmina gabi kedushin. Suppose we only knew the machlokas of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda when it comes to kedushin, I would say, yes, Rav Huna, when a kedushin says, of course, this is meant for the kedushin to be chal immediately. And then he'll give the money whenever it is. That's because Rav Huna says, look, I mean, the guy is attempting to make this woman his wife. He wants her. And therefore, he doesn't have the cash now, but he's anxious for the Kedushin to be chal as quickly as possible. Therefore, it's chal retroactively. But maybe when it comes to Gerushin, we're over there, it's a difficult step for him to take, and he's coming to get rid of his wife. Maybe he's not. I'm not in any rush. Ema moded leila Rabbi Yehuda. And on the other hand, suppose we had only the case of the Mishnah in Gittin where they were arguing. I would say, oh, there Rav Huna says that it gets to be a get on the spot. Why? Because she promised to give me $2 million for this get. If she doesn't give me the $2 million, I'll take her to court and I'll slaughter her in court. You know, he doesn't care. I mean, after all, that's part of the fun of divorce, right? So Mishum de'iu, lo kasev ola mitva, he's not embarrassed to take her to court and sue for the $2 million she promised him. But in the case of Kedushin, the woman says, and what if this bum doesn't pay me? What am I going to do? Go to court. So she's embarrassed to go to court. So over there, she doesn't really rely on the act of the Kedushin. Now she wants the cash. Ema modele l'Rabbi Yehuda, that she's only mekudeshet once the cash comes in. Therefore, I need to know it's the same situation. Now, the question is, how could Rabbi Yehuda believe that it would only take effect when the actual Tanai is mekuyim? What are you going to do with this brisa? It says in the brisa of Farish, in exactly the case, I'm waiting for $2 million, and it says, doesn't matter, even if the get was ripped up, but she shouldn't get married to somebody else until we know that they actually gave the money. But that's exactly the opposite of what Rav Yehuda said. Rav Yehuda said, it's only when the money is paid up. So then you would need to have the get there. And there's another brisa. The other brayta says, and he died. So if she had given him the money natna before he died, so then there would be no din of yibam. But if she didn't give the money, then she needs yibam. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, why does she need yibam? Even if he's dead, she can still give him the money. Huh? Yeah, she gives it to his heirs, you know. I don't know. Why not? No tenet be'achiv, le'aviv, le'achad min akrovim. Now note that this is totally a tiyufta Rav Yehuda, because they're only arguing about whether giving the money to his heirs is included in his condition. When he said, only on condition you pay me $2 million. Did he mean to include my heirs, or did he mean only if you get it to me? So that's machlokas. So the Tanakhama said, no, to me. And if the guy died before, you can't give it to him. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no. When if he says, get it to me, he means to my estate. But everybody agrees that it's a condition, and that you definitely, once you're mekayim it, the get goes back retroactively, because otherwise how could you give a get if the guy is dead? And this is a tiyufta the Rav Yehuda, no? Amalacha Rav Yehuda, no. Because remember that we have the shita of Rebbe, the Amar of an Amar Rebbe, the words almanat. Every person who says almanat, it always means starting now. Therefore, the language of almanat is the equivalent of saying me'achshav. But I wasn't going according to Rebbe. I was going according to the Rabbanan, who say that almanat is not necessarily from this minute. What? Are you sure that there's this machlokas? You're assuming it's a machlokas. We don't really know that the Rabbanan argued with Rebbe. We just know that Rebbe said kolomer almanat. Gufa. Let me take a look at that. Maimer of Rebbe. Omer of Unomer, Rebbe Kolomer Manat, Ki Omer Meachshav Dami. So Rebbe Zera said, you know, we thought that it's a machlokas and that the Rabbanan argued. And when I used to be, and the learning in Bavel, so Kavina Babavel, I've been reading the Omer of Unomer. But we said over here that when he quoted Rebbe, quote, Kolomer Manat, Kolomer Meachshav Dami, unquote, that indeed was only said by Rebbe, and the Rabbanan argue on him. But then, when I came to Eretz Yisroel, I find that Rav Asi says over this Maimer, and he was saying in Rav Yochanan's name, everybody agrees, The Imram and Ask Kemri Miachshav Dami. The machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbanan was dafke in the case of Miachshav Mehayom Liachar Mita, whether that's meant as a charot or it's also meant as a tnai. And I'll prove it to you that Rabbi Yochanan's approach is absolutely correct because it says in a bright Vatanya, Mehayom Liachar Mita, get ve'eno get, divrei chachomi, and Rebbe Omer, kazeh get. So then, apparently, the Rabbanan agree that in that case, it would be exactly as Rabbi Yochanan in the other case, in other words, Almanat, in that case, they would agree, like Rabbi Yochanan says. That's how it's mashma. In which case, you can no longer claim you're going according to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan never argued. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said Almanat is also of the machlokas, that's what he's claiming, how could he possibly say that? This is my raya, because it says in this braita, they're arguing about Mehayom Liachar Mita. Why would we want to argue about that case? If we could argue about a more powerful case, they should argue with just Almanat. So apparently the Rabbanan, in fact, actually are Meida in a case of Almanat, and that messes up Rabbi Yehuda's approach, no? No, says Rabbi Yehuda, why? I would want to talk about even this case to show you how amazing Rebbe is, that he is Mekel, that even in a case where a guy said, Mehayom Liachar Mita, even there it's a get, because he means it now. That's a bigger chiddush. So we wanted to know that Rebbe was Mekel even in that case. But, so I understand. I mean, why can't we argue in the case of Almanat and show you how amazing the Rabbanan are that they hold even Almanat would actually mean that it's not retroactive? Because I'd rather show you Koach Dat Torah. Anybody could say something is usher. That doesn't show he's got brains. But to say something is mutter, that shows he's got brains. So Mamela, I'd rather tell you the Koach of Hetera of Rebbe than tell me a case in which even here they're up under a machmer. Great, you know. Maybe they're machmer because they don't have the guts to say it's mutter because they don't know enough. Okay, so now let's get back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if the guy says, I'm going to give you the $200 within 30 days. If he gives it within 30 days, then it's good. If not, not, I mean, you know, obviously, I need a Mishnah to tell me that if you do make a Tanai, you have to keep the Tanai. I mean, pshita, what's the point? No, because I'll tell you. If we wouldn't have had the Mishnah, I would have thought that if a guy says, I'll give it to you within 30 days, he doesn't mean on condition that I give it to you within 30 days. He means, and I'm going to take care of this fast. In other words, he just wants to get things done. So he says, listen, I'm not going to let this sit around here, you know. I want to really get into this marriage. You'll see that money in 200 days. But he didn't make it as part of the actual tonight. That's what I might have thought. And he was just being Mazaris himself. You know, I'm going to get it to you fast. Kamash Malon, no, that's not the point. It is really part of the tonight in the Kedushin. And the next piece that says that I have 200, and we said over here, if he has 200, then it's Kedushin. If not, it's not Kedushin. What is that supposed to mean? What do you mean, if he has? How am I supposed to know if he has? I mean, I can know positively that he does have if I have a witness, witnesses. But if I don't know, I don't know. I can never absolutely be sure that the person, no, he said she's on the Mikudashis. He doesn't. How do you know what he has? Maybe he's got a safe deposit box somewhere hidden away. I mean, why don't we have to be concerned? Nechu Shema Yeshla. And as a matter of fact, it says Beferish and Abraita that we do have to worry. Oh, Tanya, Chashina and Shema Yeshlo. You can't prove that a guy doesn't have. You can only prove that he does have. So why does it appear in the Mishnah that, well, if he has, then she's Mekudesh. I said, if not, she go marry somebody else. I can just go marry somebody else. You would need a get, wouldn't you? No, what it doesn't mean she go marry somebody else. When we say that she's Mekudesh, we mean she's definitely Mekudesh. And if she doesn't, okay, so then it's Kedusha Suffolk. Obviously, we can't be certain. And what about when he says, I'll show you $2 million? So obviously, says the price, obviously that meant I'll even show you. It's not that I'm going to bring papers from my phony, you know, Roeh Cheshbon. He's going to show you, Trump also shows he's got $2 trillion, you know. Anybody can show they got money as long as you got the right guy working for you. So that means, so he wants to show her the actual cash. Here's the money. And then the Mishnah says, but if he shows her the money on the table, meaning on the bank counter, Then ain't a Mekudesh. Obviously. What do you think it means? I'll turn on the TV, you know, and here in the middle of this heist, oh, there's $2 million. There, I showed you $2 million. Now you're Mekudesh. Is that what we really thought he meant? So what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is it's a bank. That's the Chiddush. So in this case, if this is a deposit in my bank, it means that I am going to be using this as an investment. Okay, now part of this investment is mine. Therefore, you would think, okay, if he's a banker, so then she figures, all right, he's probably going to steal half of it anyway. So that means that really a certain percentage of this is his. So that's like showing, see, I've got a $2 million investment. You do? Well, I mean, I got 0.02% of a $2 million investment, you know. So you might think that, okay, but then that's your money, right? Kamash Malan. No, he has to show her the money that is actually his, totally his.